the measure of your pride? What is the mark of your own self-image and your idea of your self-righteousness? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This week, Pastor Jim brings us a hard-hitting message on the sin of pride. It's a compelling message that each one of us needs to hear. So without further delay, here's Pastor Jim.
So Luke 9, beginning in the 49th verse, John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you." When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparation for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. Father, as we study here, as we dig into your word, as you have laid it out before us, Father, oh, please show yourself. Father, show yourself by your Spirit. Show yourself that we would be moved by your word, not my words, your word. That your word would touch the hearts of those who are here, and that we would see ourselves in this text and our need, Lord, to turn away from ourselves and turn to you. That we would see our need, Lord, to worship you and to do as you have commanded to reveal our love for you. And Father, we give you the glory as I ask you to speak through me. Though I am unworthy, speak through me because of your grace you have poured upon me. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. So as we've been cruising through Luke chapter 9 on high speed, it's only taken us 2 months to get here, I come to this and I think of the things that we've been looking at, how we have, and what we have seen over this last little bit in Luke 9. One of the major themes that we're seeing, and it was the direct sermon last week, is the pride of man. Now, I've heard it said many times, I've said it many times, that the apostles were just men. And that's true, isn't it? But these men, even at this point, had already been anointed as they were chosen by Jesus Christ to be that special group of 12. And so, even still, pride slips in. And brothers and sisters, where pride comes in, every other sin is now available because of pride. So what we have here is, verse 49 says, it's John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him." You know, I was raised in the Catholic Church. And in the Catholic Church, one of the doctrines of the Catholic Church, that is the only true church. People that I know that are Catholic, they'll often ask me, "Why did you leave the church?" Here I am, a Baptist minister, but I left the church. And they're talking about their idea that it is the only true church. There's many Protestant denominations that think the same thing, by the way. Don't think this is limited just to the Romans. It's also in the Protestant churches. The RP church, for one, it is part of their doctrine that they are the only church. When we begin to think that we are exclusive, you know, we're a Reformed church and we see the issues of non-Reformed churches. But when we begin to think that we are it, that if somebody isn't Reformed and they don't know Christ, if somebody doesn't know what it means to be dispensational, they don't know Christ. If somebody doesn't know all these big theological words that get thrown around, they must be lost people. When we get to thinking that way, it is caused by pride. Now, we want to point people to the truth, don't we? Always. Truth is of utmost importance. In fact, truth is so important that Jesus, as his name, is called the truth. He is the truth. And so that's how important truth is. And it's that important for us to point people to the truth, to Jesus Christ and His Word. This Word here that is inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit, for men to write in His inspiration is truth. And this is the only place of absolute truth. Okay? Now, you can find truth in other places. I can pick up an encyclopedia and I can look up the word gravity and I can read about gravity and that'll be true. I can find truth in many places and in many types of books, but there is no other place that is absolute truth. Anything that I read, I learn from another source other than the Scripture, I need to take back to the Scripture and weigh. And if it doesn't match Scripture, then it is not truth. You know, that one statement is my number one favorite statement from that movie, Time Changer. That when the science does not match the Word of God, it is not the Word of God that is wrong, it is the science that is wrong. And that is such a great statement. So with that understanding that truth is of utmost importance, and when we go to His Word, we cannot in any way ever prove by His Word that we are exclusive as Reformed Baptists. Okay? We cannot do that because that would be a lie and a twisting of God's Word. Neither can any other group. But that's what John is saying to Jesus. Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and we tried to stop him. Why did he try to stop him? He goes on to tell us. Because he does not follow with us. Since he is not part of our group, he can't be doing those things that we're doing. Folks, this attitude we cannot have as Christians. Okay? It lacks love to begin with. There is no love when you put yourself above somebody else. There is no love. That is pride. So here, Jesus has been dealing with their pride, but the root of pride runs deep. What is it Vodi Bakum says? If you can't say amen, you should say ouch. Because it runs deep in all of us, doesn't it? The root of pride. And that pride guides us too often. And that pride never leads us to righteousness. Even when our pride is in righteousness. When we're proud of our righteousness, we're proud of our walk, we're proud of our... We've fallen into sin, haven't we? So John is upset. And John is wanting Jesus to do something. He's expecting Jesus to say, you know, you're right, John. Let's go take care of this. That's what he's looking for. And so often in our pride, that's what we're looking for. We want somebody and something to justify our position, whether it's right or wrong. It doesn't matter. When we say something, we want it to be justified, period. And how hard it is when we are in error and somebody speaks truth to us. Now we have a decision to make, don't we? We either humble ourselves to truth or we decide that we want our sin more than truth. And folks, I'm afraid too often we all decide we want our sin more than truth. We want our emotions justified. We want our actions justified. So this is where John's at. And with that, Jesus says to him in verse 50, do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you. I imagine John's head was spinning because he was one of the, he and Andrew were the first two to take in and follow after Christ, right? After Christ's baptism, as he came up out of the water, God spoke. And then when Jesus began to leave, those two followed after him. So John feels he has a pretty high place of authority. Not only was he one of the first to follow after Christ, but he is in that inner circle. It was him and his brother and Peter who got to see the transfiguration. You know, surely because Jesus picked just the three of us, we are better than the rest of them, right? Don't stop them. Now, notice when Jesus says this, he does not say that they belong to him. He does not say that they are doing good. He simply says that if they're not against him, they're for him. They're not against you, they're for you. Now, when we look at what they're doing, we see some information in Matthew that kind of fits in with this a bit. And that's Matthew 7 and verse 21 through 23. Verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven,
but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So in this conversation in Matthew, Jesus is saying, not everyone who's calling me Lord is going to go to heaven. Not everyone who's calling me Lord is mine. But it doesn't change the fact that they're calling him Lord. In fact, he says, Lord, Lord. And the reason he says, Lord, Lord, is because in that time, it was not uncommon to call a teacher, a rabbi, even a political leader, Lord. I mean, in the king system, the monarchy system, there are lords, right? It was not an uncommon thing in Jesus' day to call somebody political Lord. It was a term of respect. But Lord, Lord was a different term. It was a more in-depth term. So not everyone who calls him this Lord is going to enter kingdom. In verse 22, he says, on that day. And what day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of judgment, right? He's talking about the day when we are either going to hell or we are going to the kingdom of God, to heaven. On that day, he said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? You hear the pride? When you and I stand before Christ, when we stand before the judgment seat, which one of our works are we going to answer to him is why he should let us in? They didn't know him, did they? Because it wasn't about their works. But yet, sometimes we get so proud of our works that we seem to almost portray that our works are going to get us there. And that's what's being portrayed here, is the works getting them there. And they've done all these things in the name of Christ. And they've done them, okay? They've done them. And verse 23 is the gavel. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, you workers of iniquity. So even though they used the name of Jesus, even though they did all of these things in his name, they never knew him. When I stand before the judgment seat, and Christ, if that question is actually asked, and he says, why should I allow you in? All I can say is there is no reason except for Christ, period. There is no other reason to let me in but Christ. Does Christ know you? That is the only hope we have, is in him knowing us as his own. So back to our text. Jesus tells them, don't stop him. There's another parable that Jesus gives about the wheat and the tares. Remember, the workers come and they say, Lord, didn't you sow good seed? In other words, didn't you sow seed that wasn't filled with weeds? Because there's weeds growing up in your wheat. Shall we go and pull those weeds? And he says, no, don't pull them. He says, because when you start pulling them, you're going to pull up the good wheat too. You're going to pull the weed up with the weeds. When the time comes for the harvest, we will separate the wheat and the tare. Or in Matthew 25, he says, we'll separate the sheep and the goats. We see here, he's not saying that this man is following him, because there's a lot of people who call on the name of Christ. And there's a lot of people today who call on the name of Christ. And they're in every denomination. And I know this is going to come as a shock, but they're even in Reformed Baptist churches. And they have no idea who he is. They know a little bit about him, but they do not know him. So that ends that conversation. Verse 51 says that when the days drew near, so now, you know, Jesus is preparing to go to the cross. So when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he set his mind, he set his way, his direction was on to Jerusalem. And it was a very focused time. It was time for him to head that direction. And so as he set his face towards Jerusalem, it says that he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparation. Remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well? And how Jesus addressed her, and she says, oh, what are you, a Jew, doing talking to me, a Samaritan? The Samaritans were a mixed blood Jew. They were not a purebred Jew. They were a mixed person. And so the Jews actually called them dogs.
And yet Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And then when he asked her for a drink and he offers her the living water, and then he begins to tell her about herself, her eyes are opened, aren't they? And she runs back to her village and says, I met a man who knows all of this about me, all these things that I have done. And so because of her saying that, the community, many in the community come out to the well where Jesus is, and they begin to question, and he begins to teach them. And then they say to her, we no longer believe because of what you said, but because of what we have heard. Jesus did not leave the Samaritan out, okay? See, this group of Samaritans in this village, they don't want him to come. But the people did not receive him. There's nothing in the scriptures that tells us why they didn't receive him. It doesn't say, well, because he was a Jew. What it does tell us was because his face was set towards Jerusalem. So he was very focused, and for whatever reason, they didn't want to be a part of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And so they didn't receive him. Folks, there's many churches who will not receive Jesus. Churches, okay? And I'm not talking about cults. I'm talking about churches. Protestant churches that will not receive Jesus. Because when you will not receive his word, his truth, his absolute truth, then you do not receive him. A rejection of what he says is a rejection of him. Because he is the truth, and his word is truth. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then down a little further in John 1, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the word. He is truth. I am the way, the truth, he says. You know, in our country, many things have gotten twisted. I know that's a surprise to you, right? Many things have gotten twisted. There was a Barna survey, a Barna research group survey on what Americans believe. And they were asked this question, is there absolute truth? Is there absolute truth? And this was just, you know, like any other Barna survey, it was just a splattering of people. 66% of the adults responded that there is no such thing as absolute truth. 66%. You know, I asked the question. I mentioned earlier that you can get an encyclopedia or a dictionary and look up gravity. Is it not an absolute truth that gravity pulls? They said there is no absolute truth. 66% of Americans. There's a lot of problem with this, isn't there? I mean, apart from the spiritual, just in culture, to believe that there is no thing that is absolutely true, how can you trust anything? I mean, really, you go to the courts, you go to the police, you know, how can you trust anything if there's no absolute truth? But then you move that into the spiritual, and 66% of the people, and it does not break them down between Christian and non-Christian, but I'm afraid the number doesn't change much for the church. I think it's much like divorce. The number stays pretty similar. You take that to the spiritual, and in the church, when that many people do not believe in absolute truth, how can they know Christ? How can they know him? 72% of those who said this at the time of the survey were ages 18 to 25. 70% of those in that 66 percentile, 70% of them did not believe the scriptures are true. Not absolute truth, true. Now, this isn't anything new to us. We've seen this for a long time. You know, many years ago, we went through the Way of the Master study, and we watched as Kirk Cameron and help me, what's his name, the other one? Ray Comfort, thank you. My mind went blank. And we watched as they would go out in the streets, and they would ask people about truth, and they would say they didn't believe in truth. And he said, well, don't you believe that I'm standing right in front of you? He said, well, maybe. Or there was the one, he said, well, don't you believe that 2 + 2 = 4? He said, well, maybe to you. You know, to not believe in truth is absolutely idiotic, isn't it? And to tell somebody that I'm that dumb, I'm sorry, I don't have a nicer way to say it. I'm that dumb that I don't believe in truth. How foolish can you be? And yet, That is where we live in America. The people in the Samaritan village did not want to deal with truth. And so he was rejected. Now, the rejection of Jesus brings that pride flying back up again. And not only John, but his brother James. You know, remember what they're called? They're called sons of what? Do you think that's an accident? They're called sons of thunder. And verse 54 says, and when his disciples, James and John, these are the two who want to sit at his right and his left hand, right? These are two that were part of that inner circle, that part of that group that went up and saw the transfiguration. These two are part of the tightest people to Christ. And when they saw it, they said, Lord. Now, remember, Christ gave them powers. He sent them out, the 12, and he gave them power to heal sicknesses and to do casting out demons and other things he gave him power to do. So these two, with this power, say, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Look what wrath does to us. Do you suppose in that community, every single person rejected Christ? Do you suppose in that community there were children? And because of the fact that women could not make these kind of decisions in that time, women who had nothing to do with the rejecting of Jesus, but in their wrath, they're ready to destroy anybody and anything in their way. And folks, I'm sorry, but our wrath is the same way. When we allow bitterness to take hold of our heart, bitterness begins to harden the heart. And as it has its full work, it removes us far from Christ. You know, many years ago, I had a number of issues with pneumonia. And in my lungs, there's a fair amount of scar tissue because of pneumonia. I have to sleep with oxygen at night because my lungs do not expand the way they were made to expand because of those pneumonias. And that scar tissue has hardened those areas of my lungs that are scarred so that they don't work like they're supposed to. And friends, our heart is the same way. A heart that begins to get filled with scar tissue, it does not pump like it's supposed to. Our spiritual heart, our soul, is the same way. When we allow scar tissue of bitterness and sin to overcome us, not only does it separate us from God, but it will allow us to justify horrible things. Do you think that James and John felt justified that this community would reject their Jesus? They felt justified to kill them all. They felt justified to bring that kind of wrath. And when we are angry and when we are bitter, that is what we have too. One of the things that is of utmost importance is to confess our sins. What does the Bible say? If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us. How often? Every time. So here is God, who is faithful and just and forgiving every time we sin against Him. And then there's us, who have been forgiven what we did not deserve to be forgiven for. And how do we react when somebody sins against us? Do we forgive it? Sometimes, right? Depends on how deep the hurt is, and it depends on how hard the heart has become. The more we allow bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart, the harder it becomes, and the harder it becomes to do what is right. So what does Jesus do with this? You know, I have a vivid imagination. Verse 55 says, but he turned and rebuked them. I have imagined a dozen different things he might have said to them. Okay, probably more than a dozen. I thought a lot of the different things that he might have said to them. But you know what? Apparently, the Lord God in his inspiring of the word didn't think it was any of our business, because all it says is that he rebuked them. Did they get the point? Did they get the point? I don't know. We'll find out as we go forward. When we are willing to allow this bitterness and unforgiveness to rule us, those things always come from pride. And that's the lesson that the apostles are being taught. And I am a lot like these apostles. I have to keep learning the same lesson over and over. We need to learn this lesson. And the faster we deal with our sin, the less time we are separated in fellowship from Christ. And the more we are in fellowship with Christ, the easier it is to glorify His name, which is what we were made for. And when we begin to truly glorify Him because we do not want to stay in our sin, when we get to that place, we begin to enjoy Him. Folks, I know a lot of Christians that don't enjoy God. They don't enjoy His Word, and they don't enjoy Him because they refuse to let go of sin. Hurt, pride. I ask you, let it go, because Christ will rebuke you if you are His. He will. And I tell you, I'd much rather deal with me than have Christ have to on my sin. But look what happens after that's dealt with. Verse 56, and they went on to another village. Or in other words, they were able to go forward. They put it behind and they went on. Not being able to get revenge, not being vindictive, didn't end their going on. Letting go of it allowed them to go forward with Christ. That's what we need, isn't it? We need to go forward with Christ. So if there is anything that is holding you out of fellowship with Him, get rid of it. If there is anyone that you have something against, get rid of it. If there is anyone who has something against you, go and make it right to the best that is your ability, is what the Scripture says. Let's be Christians in truth and not just in word. Please stand with me. Father, as we close this message, I want to give You the praise. I want to give You the praise, Lord, because when I have things that come up like this, I get to see and know how You have worked in me, because I know the vindictive, hard-hearted person I was before You decided to touch me and change me. I know the person that I was that would never have let a slight or an offense go by. And I know what You have done for me. Lord, as has been said by many before me, I am not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I used to be. And by grace, I am where I am. Thank You, Lord. May we each say this, and may we each turn away from ourselves to You. Amen.
Amen. What a hard truth to take, but what an important one. We must forgive and move on. We must be willing to follow after Jesus. And above all, we must confess our own unworthiness and His perfection. He alone is the path to God, and there is no one who's worthy. No, not even one. Beloved, here's the simple truth of God. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and each one of us should feel the Apostle Paul's next words as our own, of whom I am chief. It's the truth. Each one of us should know that fact burned into our soul, for that's the only hope we have. For Jesus came to call the sinner to repentance, not the righteous to an award show. I beg you, if you do not know Him as He is, cry out to Christ for mercy. You will not be rejected. But if you come to Him boasting of your own righteousness, neither will you be accepted. Cry for mercy. We want to thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please be sure to let us know. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you, and bless the hearing of His Word.